Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Holy Gospel for this past Exaudes Sunday, our Lord speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit and of sending out his disciples as his apostles and ministers, saying of the Spirit, "He will testify of me," and of the disciples, "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And thus our Lord gives them a foretaste of the commission and ordination he would place upon them at his ascension. They would be given the wonderful task of proclaiming his gospel and of proclaiming peace to the nations. But immediately following these words, he speaks in darker tones. "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service." And just previously to this, he had said, "A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Now, I imagine this is not what the disciples wanted to hear. And then our Lord says, "These things I've told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me." Not only would the disciples have to face these persecutions and dangers, but it seems they would have to face them alone. Yes, there was the promise of the Holy Spirit, but these words about Christ leaving them confused and troubled them, as we see later in the Gospel of St. John. And Christ did ascend, and the Holy Spirit did come, and these apostles went out and they preached Christ to the nations and served his church. But they also endured tremendous persecution and struggle. Indeed, tradition tells us that all of them, except for St. John, were eventually martyred for their witness to Christ. Where is the glory of the gospel in the midst of this trouble? Where is the consolation of Christ's presence and peace? The people of Isaiah's time probably had a similar question concerning the prophecy you heard today. For there is talk of peace in God's presence, of his not only shaming and disgracing their enemies, but wiping them out of existence, making them as an undoing, nothing. And the Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What wonderful and gracious words the prophet Isaiah was giving to them. And yet, in just a few short years, they would be carried off into captivity in Babylon. They would be conquered, pillaged, carried away as slaves and prisoners by their enemies. Where is the glory of God's presence in this? Where is that peace he promised through his prophet? There are many in the church today who promise a life of worldly peace to people. But popular Christianity promises a false peace, one based on one's commitment to Jesus and supposedly fulfilled in the Christian community where the love of Christ is to be lived out perfectly among the people. And all that is necessary to achieve this peace, they say, is that you love the Lord and let him reign in your life. And as long as you do that and follow his commandments, you'll have peace with God and with your fellow men. But the reality is far different from what they promise. And we are saddened to find the church in the midst of all kinds of troubles and persecutions, even in our own day. Not only trouble from the outside, but from the inside. I'm sure you hear almost weekly of conflict in our parishes between pastors and people, of congregations fighting amongst themselves over how to do church, not to mention the great doctrinal rifts that have developed in Christianity and seem almost daily to be on the verge of breaking into our own parishes. And I think one of the most troubling things we hear is of faithful pastors who are preaching God's word, who are teaching properly, being cast out of their congregations. I know these struggles happening throughout our synod are troubling to most of you, especially those of you who are training to be pastors. And we look at these things and we say, is this what the church is all about? Do I really want to go out into this mess as a pastor and have to deal with this? This is the church. To us belong not only the promises made in the New Testament, but also the old ones. Where is God's upholding with his right hand? Where is the peace that was promised? This is why the attraction of popular Christianity doesn't last. It promises things it can't deliver and ignores what's real. Because if you're looking for an earthly peace, an easy and tranquil life as a servant of the church, you're probably not going to find it without first becoming a heretic or abandoning Christ. We have to remember that as long as there's sin in the world and in the church and in ourselves, there will not be that kind of worldly peace. We have to remember that we live in the church militant, and being faithful is a battle, both for congregations and for pastors. The only guaranteed way to find earthly peace is to not be faithful, pandering to the felt needs and wants of our world. But this doesn't mean there isn't true peace to be found in the church. For true peace is not found in worldly ease and tranquility, but in the person of Christ. And so Israel was promised peace and victory, even in the midst of exile, in the presence of God. Now it was a peace which could not be seen without the eyes of faith. But so it is with the things that are most real. For their peace was not found in their situation, but in their status before God, in his presence among them, and in the promises of eternal life he had given them. And so it was with the apostles. They faced greater persecution and hardship than you and I will probably ever have to face. There was no earthly peace for them. As I said before, they were martyred. And even St. John, who was not martyred, was persecuted, imprisoned, and exiled. Yet they had true peace in Christ. For having ascended, having left them to do their work, he not only sends the Holy Spirit upon them, but also promised that he himself would be with them always, and that wherever they were gathered in his name, he would be there. And in his presence there is peace, the peace of sins forgiven, the peace found in the promise of heaven and of eternal victory, the peace of knowing that whatever cross one must bear in the ministry is actually a reflection of and a witness to the cross of Christ, for which he calls that one bearing it blessed. And where was this presence to be found after the ascension? He is to be found wherever the word of the gospel is preached, wherever baptismal waters flow, wherever the feast of his supper is celebrated. For St. Leo the Great once proclaimed, "And so that which till the ascension was visible of our Redeemer was changed into a sacramental presence. And that faith might be more excellent and stronger, sight gave way to doctrine. This faith, increased by the Lord's ascension and established by the gift of the Holy Spirit, was not terrified by bonds, imprisonments, banishments, hunger, fire, attacks by wild beasts, refined torments of cruel persecutors. For this faith throughout the world, not only men, but even women, not only beardless boys, but tender maids, fought to the shedding of their blood. There was no earthly peace in the presence of Christ for them either. But there is such a wondrous heavenly peace in Christ and his gospel, one that can only be grasped by faith, that they'd sooner die than lose it. And so it is for us today, for the church and for her ministers. We are surrounded by fear and trouble on every side. And yet here in the midst of the struggle, Christ comes to his church militant again and again through the means of grace, sacramentally. and says to us, I am with you, your sins are forgiven. Find your strength and your life in me. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, to whom be glory and honor both now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.